Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast, presented by Clutch Points. I am your host, Blake Clevel. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan. And for all of you, I guess, who didn't lose all the money that we probably lost you this week on our picks, hopefully you still have a device to be able to listen to us on, because it was not our best week for picks. Week 10, Dylan, was a wild and crazy one, I think, for a lot of people, and we'll talk about the fantasy ramifications of some of these players. I will tell you that in certain leagues, it was not my best week. Thank you, Cooper Kupp, but we'll get to that later on in the episode. It was, it was kind of a strange week, I guess, because you had some teams that were in must-win scenarios. Then you had some teams that were in must-lose scenarios, and, well, they found out that they were going to win games anyways.
Yeah, these teams that are, you know, 1-7, all three of these teams all winning. So I think the true winner of the day is really the Cincinnati Bengals. They take a huge step forward for the number one pick. But, yeah, a lot of survivor pools, I'm sure, went down in a flash with a lot of, you know, maybe some people survived till now, and then they probably all lost, whether it be picking the Saints to beat the Falcons or the Colts to beat the Dolphins. Those two pretty you don't really see usually two teams that are both 10-plus point underdogs win on the same day. It was kind of a crazy day. So I don't feel too bad about some of our picks. Some other ones that were closer, maybe so. But, yeah, those games, man, I don't think anyone really saw that coming.
No, I don't think so, and it made some of these teams look even better based on the consistency, because that's what we always talk about, it's consistency. And speaking of teams that don't have consistency, let's go back to Thursday night. We don't spend a lot of time on the Thursday night when it's several days removed now, but the Raiders, we said it, we were rolling with the Raiders, and sure enough, the Raiders get a 26-24 win over the Chargers, and little did we know. Well, I mean, listen, folks, if you go back and listen to our season predictions episode, you'll know that we all, you know, we both picked the Raiders to win the Super Bowl. So here they are, you know, now sitting half a game out of the lead in the AFC West. Hey, we said it. It was a big game for both teams, and we said whoever wins this game is probably going to feel a lot better about where they're at in the playoff race. And sure enough, the Oakland Raiders are 5-4 and feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yeah, the Raiders have to feel fantastic, like you're saying. Their next couple games against the Bengals and Jets, I mean, we can't lock in any wins at this point with what we saw this week, but you got to feel like they're going to take both of those. You're going 7-4 into a game with the Chiefs at this point. Could be for the division. I mean, there's a lot of easier games left on that schedule for the Raiders after that, too. So, man, they have definitely improved a lot from earlier in the year in terms of their consistency on offense. It's been a few weeks now where they've been able to put up points. The big concern still for them is going to be defense. I don't, you know, their secondary is still a huge question mark. But if they get a pass rush like they did against the Chargers on you know, on Sunday, or sorry, on last Thursday. It's going to be a lot different story for them. I think that's going to help them out quite a bit. A lot of offensive lines aren't going to be in the shambles of with all the injuries and different issues that the Chargers have, but it's just good news for the Raiders. And it's you know, for anyone that didn't think John Gruden was going to be able to figure it out, I mean, there's some questions last year, but they completely tore down that team. And to come into this season, not a ton of expectations, but I think at this point you have to feel pretty good about where they are going forward.
Yeah, for sure. And they are, again, sitting in a really good spot here. And with those two games coming up against the Bengals and the Jets, I don't know. I guess it would be a total Raiders thing if they were to, let's say, lose one or both of these games. But still, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you can't lose both, but even if they were to lose one of them, they're still in pretty good shape, at least for now, in terms of the playoff race. So, yeah, the Raiders just moving right along here, looking like a team that can make the playoffs. And we were not saying that before the start of the season. All right, speaking of teams that want to make the playoffs, the Chicago Bears. It was a must-win scenario for them. And sure enough, the Bears finally, I guess, found some offense of some sort. And are able to get a 20-13 win. I don't think anyone's going to be rushing out to put Mitchell Trubisky in their fantasy football starting lineups. but it is, again, it's a win, and we said it. I mean, the Bears lose that game, their season's pretty much over. Now they're sitting here at 4-5. Obviously, Matthew Stafford not playing played a role in that game, but you'll take it either way if you're a Bears fan.
Yeah, no, can't take it much away from the defense. They still played well, and you know, at certain points early in the game, it looked like the Lions were kind of in control, but they figured it out, as we've seen them in a number of these games they've lost, where the defense does respond and still get some stops to put the offense in a position to actually do something. They finally figured it out. We've talked about how the Lions have struggled on defense, so take that with what you will. It's going to be a lot tougher matchup. Even though the Rams lost this past week, their defense has been solid, so I don't know. That's going to be probably pretty low over-under on that one, but for the Bears, yeah, like you said, you had to win this one to keep your season alive, because we've already talked about how December is just a brutal stretch of games, so they're gonna have to keep racking up wins here. It's not gonna be easy, but I mean, with their defense, they at least can stay in games. That's the one thing you can count on with them.
Yep, that's the case, and it's just, yeah, it's every week it's the same. It's just, are they gonna be able to find enough offense? They did in this one. We'll see how that works out against, like we said, some probably tougher competition here as they go throughout the stretch run of the season. All right, next up, we mentioned the Bengals a minute ago, still in the race. Well, I mean, we're going to say tanking for Tua, but after what Joe Burrow did for LSU against Alabama, looks like Joe may be in the conversation there now. So either way, the Bengals are looking like they're going to have a good shot at having a chance to secure that number one pick in the draft, and that's because they got Lamar Jackson, 49-13. The Ravens won that game. Honestly, it was never that close. I mean, it's, you know, that's whatever, a 36-point score line there, but it never felt that close, because the Ravens did anything they wanted to do in this game, and it was just it was something else to watch Lamar Jackson, which I know everyone at this point has seen that the spin move he pulled off on that big run for a touchdown, and we said it. I always look at teams, and you know what? If you beat teams the way you're supposed to beat teams, that tells me a lot. The Ravens destroyed the Dolphins to start the season. They destroyed a bad Bengals team. They didn't play around. They didn't let anyone hang around. I'm not saying that's a sign of a team that's necessarily going to win a Super Bowl, but that tells me a lot about a team. If they can just go out and dominate the teams they're supposed to. And here's another note. Phil Yates added this on Twitter. He added this before the game, actually, which now would be 34-0. But the Ravens, they were 10.5-point favorites in this game. The only active franchise that's never lost a game as a double-digit favorite. They were 33-0 going into that game. Now they're 34-0. Big win for the Ravens, and the Bengals, a big win for them too, I guess.
Yeah, I wonder if that stat goes back to their older Cleveland Brown days. I'd have to figure that out. But yeah, for the Ravens, not a surprising game. You and I both said this is our betting lock of the week. So for all the games we missed, at least we nailed this one. Yep. Kind of went exactly how we felt it would go. I feel like the Ravens didn't think they're going to stop rolling after that win against the Patriots. They're just going to build on top of that. And it looked at times like kind of a scrimmage almost for them, not to be too disrespectful to the Bengals, but they really did not stand a chance. The Ravens, I mean, in every facet of the game dominated. And yeah, definitely at this point, you have to feel like they're one of the top Super Bowl contenders in the AFC right there. You know, we had that one podcast where we talked about our top five teams and we left them out. I think at this point you can't really have a conversation about the Super Bowl without them. So yeah, not a game you learn a ton about. You've talked about how the good teams have to crush these bad teams, so we've seen them do it a couple times. Now they got a little tougher few games coming up next week against the Texans. That could be a possible playoff preview. The 49ers coming down the line pretty soon as well, so we'll learn some more about the Ravens. But I think we've already at the very least, you know, we know Lamar Jackson something else. I mean, that one touchdown run, holy cow, when it looked like it was like beyond what a video game could do. I mean, you could try to do that with pressing O for spin move and dash, you know, juking left, right, here and there, and I still don't think you'd be able to pull off something that was that pretty. It was he's just must watch TV at this point. Even if the Ravens are playing a bad team, you got to tune in because Lamar Jackson is just phenomenal to see what they're doing with that offense right now.
Yeah, as a Mark Ingram fantasy owner, you get a tear every now and then because you just know that you're really not going to get enough because Lamar Jackson is just going to run it and score touchdowns, and there's nothing you can do about it. So, it's one of those deals where I just don't, you know, it's just not easy to stop this team, and it's not something you can prepare for. People can talk all they want about maybe the pass still needs to be improved for him, but I mean, look, when he can just run out and do anything he wants, there's just not a whole lot you can do about it. So that's always going to be a factor. And you mentioned the game coming up in week 11 here with the Texans. So you've got Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson. That will be a fun one for sure. All right, next up, we've been talking about the Bears to the Browns, and the Browns were in must-win mode. And sure enough, I will tell you, that was not a pretty game by any means, and I think probably, I know Browns fans, a win is a win, and you're more excited, but I still think you probably came out of that game being just as frustrated as you were before, because they just did so many things, it seemed like, to try to lose that game. And, of course, everyone, you know, who watched the game, what stands out is all the different conversion possibilities they could have had from like the 1 and 2 yard line, and they could never get into the end zone. What was it? I think it was like 8 tries or something from within the 2 yards.
One drive when they had the penalty. I think it was 7 plays.
Oh, so they had all these opportunities, couldn't get in the end zone, and they're running plays that just don't even make sense at that area. It's just, I don't know. But hey, again, they're 3-6. Certainly, it would have looked a lot worse, you know, to be at 2-7. I still don't think that. I mean, their schedule's nice and everything, but I still don't think they'd make the playoffs. But 3-6 for the Bills, it's probably just as frustrating to lose a game like that because it's one where you did play well enough on defense to win. The offense wasn't necessarily great. I don't know. It wasn't a great game. It was an ugly game. We probably expected that, but I guess if you're the Browns, it's a win.
I don't think either fan base is feeling too good about this one because both teams really could have lost this game for different reasons. You already talked mostly about the Browns and their struggles in the red zone, and it's like, you know, we've seen this since early in the season. They had the chance against the Rams to force overtime, and all year they've struggled inside the 5 yard line. I don't know how you don't adjust, or I mean, we've seen years past where the Falcons have kind of been a team that struggled in the same kind of area of the field. And it's staggering, and it's frustrating for them because at this point in the year, they could be looking a little bit better. And, you know, 1 or 2 more wins put you right in the middle of the thick of that playoff race. They have a lot of ground to make up at this point. But, I mean, if they somehow win some of these easier games and they tie with Buffalo, now they got this tie break. So for the Bills, you had a really big chance to kind of cement your place in the playoff picture. Now you fall to 6-3. There's a number of 5-4 teams nipping at your butts now. And you don't have this tie break with Cleveland. I don't think it's going to come out to haunt them, but I mean, if the Browns do figure out how to win some of these games, it could. And for the Bills, on the flip side, you know, you get all those stops in the red zone. You get all these, make all these big plays, and you convert some fourth downs and do some things. But the one thing, I mean, you get 2 field goals. I know the last one by Hauschka was a lot further, but he had one earlier in the first half that he missed from within inside 40 yards. And it's just those things that are so frustrating as a fan and as a team because you're putting yourself in a position to win where, in the NFL, as we know, 1, 2, 3 points, it really makes a huge difference. So those field goals for the Bills, you feel like you easily are in a position to at least be tied in that game at the end, but also could have been, you know, feeling better earlier in the game. So For the Bills at this point, the last few weeks, a few tough games. They got blown out, obviously, by the Eagles, and now they come in here. I don't know. I'm not feeling so confident about them as a playoff team, especially with how the Steelers are playing, how the Raiders are playing. If Jacoby Brissett comes back for the Colts, how they'll be looking. So it's getting a lot more complicated than it might have seemed a few weeks ago for Buffalo.
All right, we're gonna have some fun here. We're gonna make a stop here for 1 second, and we're gonna go through both of these teams in terms of seeing. All right, I want you to make a quick pick on all these games. We're gonna start with the Browns. Okay. The rest of the way, Browns at home against the Steelers.
Yeah, Steelers.
All right, so there you go. Browns at home against the Dolphins.
I'll take the Browns.
Browns at the Steelers.
Yeah, Steelers again.
Browns at home against the Bengals.
Take Browns.
Browns at the Cardinals.
Oh, that's the tough one.
All right, let's give the Browns that one. Let's say they win that game.
Okay.
Then
okay.
The Browns come back home to play the Ravens.
Nope, revenge for the Ravens after early in the year.
And then the Browns at the Bengals. So we'll probably give them
the Browns
that
win.
All right, so that's what, 4 wins?
7-9.
7-9. That's not going to get you there.
7-9.
So let's say even if you split with the Steelers, 8-8 is probably the best you're looking at.
They're going to have to probably win both those games.
Yeah, right, exactly.
If they
that's
make the
what
playoffs.
It's going to come down to. They're going to have to probably... I mean, they're going to have to win 6 of their last 7 games. I don't think 8-8 gets you in the AFC. Nope. I just don't see it happening. Even as bad as the AFC South is, and we'll get there, but I just don't see it.
No, I think enough teams are going to go 9-7. I think that's kind of the board, like the line where you look at the Raiders, you look at where the Steelers are, the Colts, as we just mentioned, but now the Titans. Oh, I'm just looking through the standings real quick. Chargers, I mean, you could still see them pull out 9-7. Jags, I don't know. So with Foles coming back, we'll see how they look. It's not that easy for the Browns. Everyone said, like, we'll wait for this back half of the schedule, but if you just continue to pile up losses, they had to win, you know, a couple more of these games early in the year to really be factoring with this easy schedule.
All right, we're quickly going to do this with the Bills because it could be a little bit more shaky than we thought. All right, they're at the Dolphins. We're giving them that one,
right?
Yeah, we
give them that win.
All right, they're at home against the Broncos.
I would say they should win that game, but, you know, Denver's had some games where we see them play much better than they have in past weeks. So, I'll say the Bills, though. I feel pretty good about 2 wins there.
I was going to say, so that gets them to 8 right there. Now they just probably need 1 or 2 to really feel decent of these last 5. At the Cowboys.
Got to go with the Cowboys there.
Home against the Ravens.
Yeah, we already know where I'm going there. The Lamar show.
At the Steelers.
See, that one might be almost a playoff game. Like, we're looking at kind of these teams that are going to be right on that fringe for playoff spots and tie breaks, obviously, based on head-to-head matchups. That's one I would probably pick the Steelers. We'll see how I feel over the next few weeks, but a tough one for sure on the road, especially.
Then at the Patriots, we know where we're going there.
Yeah.
And then the last game of the season. Like, I think this is what happened. Like, this is what does it for the Bills. They're at home against the Jets, the last game of the season. So if they can beat the Dolphins, the Broncos, and the Jets, that gets them to 9. And so
it should be enough.
Yeah,
it should be enough.
And then if you can steal one somewhere, which is going to be hard to do because 3 of those 4 are on the road, but let's say you find a way to win in Pittsburgh, or by some chance you just play the Ravens, just an unbelievable defensive effort. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
It's possible.
I think these two teams are very interesting to look at because the Browns have such a, you know, quote-unquote easy schedule. The Bills have a pretty tough one with some of these games they're going to have left to play. So I thought those were two very interesting comparisons there. So
it's those easy early season wins. I mean, obviously the schedule for the Bills is much easier early in the season than Cleveland, but they stack up. Like, you feel like you're going to be able to respond each week. You know, it's not like the playoffs, you're not done with one loss, but every game still counts, and you still after a certain point you have so many losses on your record, you can't just erase those.
Right. Yeah, we may go through the Steelers here in a minute. We'll look at them before we get there. Let's talk about the Chiefs and the Titans. That was certainly one of the most exciting games of the day, and it was just a wild one with the way it ended. Here we are. We're back here again to the same theme, and it's like I've repeated this on every episode of this podcast at this point, 20-something episodes. I feel like I've repeated it every time. Just when you think the Titans are going to do something, remember that they're probably going to do the opposite. And so, I mean, they are. They are the George Costanza of the NFL, in my opinion. Like, they do the opposite. That's just what happens, and they get a 35-32 win over the Chiefs. And now the Titans are sitting there right in that mix at 5-5. The Chiefs have now fell to 6-4, which we just talked about when we were mentioning the Raiders. Man, it's just it's one of those deals where I think what stands out to me is that the Chiefs' defense is clearly still a problem, and it's what puts them behind the Patriots, and honestly, you know, maybe even behind the Ravens if we continue to see it going this way when we look at it from that perspective. But I don't know, like, it's just but still, you still feel more confident in the Chiefs, and you still don't have any confidence in the Titans because as good as they looked in this game to be able to make enough plays, it's just like, you know, you know you're not going to get that every single game, and that makes them very hard to predict. This was a wild game.
Yeah, I mean, for this one, for the Chiefs and Titans, as we kind of talked about last week, if the Titans were going to win, it had to start with the ground game, and Derrick Henry obviously dominated. And you got to give some credit to Vrabel and that team because they fell behind 10-0, and a lot of teams against the Chiefs, they feel like, oh, man, it's going to be a shootout. We're going to have to throw if we're going to want to keep this game going. But they instead, that whole drive when they got their touchdown to make it 10-7, they stuck to the ground game quite a bit. Not to take anything away from Ryan Tannehill, who's now 3-1 starting for the Tennessee Titans. He looks solid. But, I mean, I said this a while back. I don't know what podcast we're talking about with the Titans. 2016, before he got hurt, Ryan Tannehill looked really good that year for the Dolphins and with a team that wasn't great around him. So no matter what happens this season, good to see him playing like this. And some of those throws in that last drive, I mean, the Chiefs' secondary, as we talked about, one of their better parts, the only good really part about their defense. For a lot of the day, they played pretty well. It's mostly Derrick Henry taking over. But in that last drive, Tannehill was just on point and making, you know, decisions on the money. Everything was working well, and it was really cool to see. But for the Chiefs, you still, you know, yeah, I mean, we don't trust them maybe as much as the Pats and Ravens at this point, but Patrick Mahomes is obviously phenomenal. I mean, the throw that he made jumping in the pocket, I saw the one replay, the one to Mecole Hardman, the one replay from behind the play, and it was like, how did he do, first of all, how did he make the throw, but how did he see that I was going to be there at the same time? It was just so much going on, and it's just, you know, with him, you'd never feel like you're out of it. And if they, you know, they make that last field goal by Butker or even one earlier in the game, then it's a different story. So yeah, I mean, for the Chiefs, it's a tough going. Andy Reid somehow 1-8 in his career against the Titans. I don't know how that makes any sense, but it's something about, yeah, like you said, the George Costanza of NFL teams. No. And maybe I should have stuck with them for my AFC South pick. I mean, we'll see. I still think the Texans are a good pick at the midseason point, but Titans are right there, and you know, who knows if they can beat the Chiefs like that, they can probably, I mean, if they play well enough, they can beat anyone.
Let's be honest, everyone's right there in the AFC South. It doesn't matter who you are, everyone is still in this race, which is exactly what we thought. I think the bigger surprise for us is that everyone is not sitting here at 5-5. A four-way tie at 5-5 would probably be just perfect, and yeah, but that is it. It was a big win for the Titans because, like we said, we're looking through some of these potential playoff teams, and they're, you know, they're right there in that jumbled mess, sort of in the middle of teams who are trying to break out and maybe set themselves apart. So we'll see. And it's crazy to think about in this game. You know, it was a runny. I mean, Derrick Henry dominated the game in terms of, I mean, he had 188
fantasy
yards. Yes,
on both of my fantasy teams.
Look at that
big time clutch performance for me there.
Genius. Which, you know, I'm not drafting anybody from the Titans. That's well documented at this point. But when you look at their receiving game, you know, Corey Davis doesn't even play in this game. A.J. Brown, who you figure is going to step up and be their top receiver, he had one reception for 17 yards. So it's just, how did they win this game? And that's what it comes down to, is Derrick
running.
Henry. Yeah, Derrick Henry won the game. So big win for the Titans, and for the Chiefs, they'll try to regroup. But Patrick Mahomes, by the way, in case anyone forgot while he was injured, he's still pretty good. So 446 yards, 3 touchdowns. So yeah, he's not bad. All right. This the weirdness of the NFL right here in this one game. The Falcons and the Saints.
Oh my God.
How on this planet did the Falcons go in and win this game 26-9? Mm-hmm. We talked about it. We thought this defense was maybe even one of the worst we've seen in a while. I mean, this team was giving up points left and right. You could just, I mean, you know, I don't even know at this point. Like, any, we could have got out there and probably completed a couple passes. At least we felt that way. And that's obviously exaggerating it a bit, but how does this team I don't know what happened in the bye week, but apparently the Falcons were just on a mission to come out here and prove themselves. And sure enough, you hold an offense of that caliber, a team that we even said we're probably throwing in and feeling like they have a chance to make the Super Bowl now, which they still do. But to hold the Saints to 9 points, this is what everybody says any given Sunday. Like, this is the definition of it, because this made absolutely no sense whatsoever, and I don't even know what you say about it.
Yeah, this is a game I'm going to have to go back and watch the condensed game, because it was on with all the red zone games and haven't had a chance before recording here. So I'm mostly caught, you know, just the bits and pieces we saw on red zone. But I think, yeah, just looking at the stats, the most staggering thing isn't even just the points for the Falcons scoring. It has to be, as you said, it starts with the Saints scoring 9 against the Falcons defense. How in the world did that happen? I don't even know. I mean, Michael Thomas had a huge fantasy day, but that doesn't only go so far. I mean, they couldn't run the ball. They kind of abandoned the run too, which might be part of the issue for the Saints so early against this Falcons defense. There's no reason to really do that. I know their secondary is awful, but a lot of the teams that have beaten them up have controlled the clock. The Falcons managed to do that. I mean, this is, you know, before the season, when I last episode where I was laughing at myself for possibly thinking they could win this division, but here they are coming in and showing that if they play well enough, they have the talent, and even with injuries they've had on offense and defense, they came out and put their best game on paper. Yes, the Saints played probably as bad of a game as they possibly could have. Sean Payton saying he didn't think they would have beaten anyone on this Sunday, no matter who they faced, given their effort. So we'll see how they respond. I'm not too worried about the Saints long term, but as you said, it's just any given week, you can never assume that a game's going to be, whether it be the spread or the final. I mean, this kind of reminds me of the Bills-Vikings game last year, where the Buffalo came into Minnesota like 18 or 19 point underdogs or something ridiculous, and they end up winning by like 20. It feels like the last few years there's been one of these games where it's like the result, as I said before when we just started, this is definitely one that killed a ton of survivor pools. I'm sure so many people are like, oh, this is an easy pick. I've waited to use the Saints all year. Here we are. It's a good one. I'm going to go into this one and feel good about next week, and sure enough, they get pounded here. So
yeah,
weird result, man.
So you find me someone out there who felt confident in the Falcons winning this game, and I will I will find you a liar, because I'm not buying it. I don't think anyone but just go through the 6-game losing streak.
Hopefully,
for the Falcons.
Maybe.
Yes. The Falcons gave up 27, 24, 53, 34, 37, and 27. And they gave up 9 to the Saints, who, by the way, did not even turn the ball over. Like, they had zero turnovers and only scored 9 points. It makes no sense whatsoever, but that's the NFL. And I don't think the Falcons are going to be starting their playoff charge here. But nonetheless, and you know, again, the Falcons do it without their top two running backs. Like, Ito Smith's out. Devontae Freeman got hurt. Brian Hill's in there carrying 20 times for 61 yards. I just don't know what to say about this. We're not going to break down the Falcons' playoff schedule. We're not going to start finding wins for the Falcons.
No, it's not. Even if I had the look, I can imagine it's not going to be too pretty. Yeah, they get the Saints again. They get the Niners. Yeah, we're not breaking it down. They're probably going to lose both of those games. Saints are probably going to come in Atlanta with something to prove.
We'll wait a few weeks before we start going into that one. We'll see if it's necessary. Speaking of, we're not going to look. We're going to do this for these two teams either, the Giants and the Jets. Here's another one we got flat out wrong. The Jets went 34-27 in the Battle of New York there, and this was an ugly one for the Giants. I know it was sort of a touchdown game here, and the Giants' offense looked good, but their defense is as bad as we thought it was. And I guess, in a sense, so is the Jets, but just not to, you know, the level of the Giants in this game. This is one where you just, again, we picked the Giants because we really felt like they played well against the Cowboys. And then you saw what the Jets did against the Dolphins, and it's like, well, this is a no-brainer. Well, here we go again. Mm-hmm. There are no no-brainers in this league. Daniel Jones threw 4 touchdowns. Darius Slayton had a big game. Le'Veon Bell really didn't even do anything. But yet the Jets still find a way to win here, and they somehow, which I think injury probably has a lot to do with this, but as a Saquon Barkley fantasy owner, to look up and see 13 carries for 1 yard is not something that I was expecting to see.
No, absolutely not. Definitely for in terms of fantasy wise, this is the game where Darius Slayton kind of showed why he's been on that on that waiver wire waiting for you to pick him up. obviously didn't, you know, he's not going to perform like this every week, but you see the talent that he has and his playmaking ability. It's kind of, for Giants fans, remind you a little bit of what Victor Cruz used to be able to do and kind of how he emerged early in his career. So for the Giants, I mean, yeah, their offense had no problem moving the ball, but that one Jamal Adams, just rips the ball away from Daniel Jones and you got a touchdown game. That's really the difference. Both these teams, there's not a lot of neither team really had a big of an edge. Yes, the Jets have played much worse in the past few weeks, and here in this game, they do get some luck with different things. So I'm not going to tune it up to anything more than these are two bad teams, as I think the New York Post headline said, battle of the week. Not spelled like the week that you usually would have put in that circumstance. And here they are at this point, just ruining their chances to get another top quarterback. Not that they need one, but for the Jets, I think they do need to actually focus on trying to win, because getting the 1-2-3 pick isn't going to matter much. You got a team that you're supposed to be, as we talked about a few weeks ago, trying to be a team in this wild card picture. It's not going to happen for them. But for Sam Darnold, he looked okay, but nothing I would really pull away from him in terms of confidence, given what we've seen over the last few weeks. It's still early in his career. Same for Daniel Jones, obviously. He goes off in this game, but in terms of fantasy points, they couldn't run the ball, which is the most shocking thing, as you said, against the Jets defense, which I guess that's one of the strong suits they've kind of had. But I don't know, man. Le'Veon not being able to run against the Giants was probably the more shocking thing for me, because they can't really do anything on the Giants defense. And to, you know, for fantasy owners of Le'Veon Bell, it's been pretty rough this year. No matter how many touches he can get, it's still not making a difference there.
Yeah, when Daniel Jones is the leading rusher for the Giants with 3 carries and 20 yards, and your next leading rusher is Wayne Gallman with 1 carry for 2 yards, you've kind of put yourselves in a situation here where they're going to have to decide what they want to do with Saquon Barkley, whether it's worth playing him the rest of the season or if he's not completely ready to go to sit him out. I will put my fantasy bias aside and the need for him to get me to the playoffs and say it may be better just to see what's happening with him and not try to risk anything here. A couple other teams here. We expected this to be one of the more, I guess, high-scoring games of the week. We were talking about that when we made our picks. But the Bucs and the Cardinals, it was an offensive game, just like you expected. The Bucs get the win 30-27. The Cardinals have the tie, but both teams with 3 wins, 6 losses. But this was one where it really did. Like, this game went exactly sort of like you expected it to. It really was like it was an offensive game. Christian Kirk goes off for 6 receptions, 138 yards, 3 touchdowns. Jameis had his usual big game, and of course he had his usual start of the game with an interception, just sort of like we expected, I guess. And it's just, I don't know, like the Bucs and the Cardinals, they're just two teams that I think we know, like, they have the offensive capabilities, but defensively the reason they're not in the playoff race is because they just don't have it on defense. And these are certainly two teams we know that once this season is over, they're going to go out and address some of their defensive needs, because that's what's going to help them get – I mean, if they don't want to do that, if they can't find any improvement on defense, they're not going to be able to be in this race next season or beyond.
Yeah, no, I mean, they can defend the run, and that's one thing they've done well, and they did it well against the Cardinals on Sunday. But overall for Tampa Bay, it's still I think my biggest takeaway is they play really exciting games. If you're not a fan of the Buccaneers, it feels like every single week they're in these last minute crazy kind of situations, either scoring or giving up points. Whether they lose or win, they play really close football games. And even this whole morning slate, there weren't a lot of fantastic, you know, matchups between playoff contenders, but there was a lot of close, fun games. That was the one takeaway for me from this one, really, was no matter how bad both these teams are at this point in terms of, you know, in terms of them not really competing for a playoff spot, there are positives. I think the Cardinals, Kyler Murray again, at certain points, you know, looked a little off, and then other moments showed flashes of why they, you know, they traded Rosen away and drafted him first overall. Some of those passes down the field looked, you know, kind of like what we see from Lamar Jackson out there in terms of guy running up into the pocket, making it kind of freeze the defense, and then just throwing a dart over the top. He looked great, and you know, there's things to be feel positive about for the Cardinals moving forward. Christian Kirk obviously finally kind of having a big game. Well, I know plenty of fantasy owners probably very frustrated that did not start him. That was kind of a theme this week, as it's been, you know, every year it's kind of a theme of guys having just 1 week here and there where you think they're going to be great, you kind of bench them when you give up hope, and then they come in and give you 3 touchdowns and 140 yards. So for both teams, yeah, just going at this point, yeah, like you said, you got to look towards the offseason, figure out where your weaknesses are for both teams. It's all pass defense. As much as this year, I've talked a lot about teams that can't defend the run and how that's a huge problem for Kansas City and other ones, and some of the best teams in the NFL run the ball really efficiently. These two teams, if you can't stop the pass, no one's gonna really run that much on you. They're just gonna keep throwing, and both teams have similar weaknesses, kind of. But at least for the Cardinals, you know who your quarterback of the future is. For Tampa, at this point, where are you really feeling about Jameis Winston? I'm not really sure, even after he ekes this one out. Is this really the guy you want leading your franchise for the long term? I'm not sure.
Gardner Minshew to Tampa.
Now that his Minshew mania has gone down and Foles is back, it takes 2 weeks for the narratives to flip.
This is going to be
I thought it was Foles moving on.
It's going to be a long burn. He's going to go to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Then we're going to have Bucks versus Jags. That's going to be the new big rivalry in the NFL. That's what we want. We want the story. They've got to figure out what they're going to do there. And like you said, they've got to improve that pass defense for sure. And going back, I mean, David Johnson clearly. We sort of mentioned Saquon Barkley. David Johnson had 5 carries for 2 yards, and he's someone else. It's clearly not right injury-wise. I mean, it's just clear he's not 100% right now, and they, too, probably have to make some decisions on him to decide what they're going to do here moving forward. So, look, man, injuries are part of the game, but as we see, every year we always look up and it's like, man, some of these guys are just so banged up at this point in the season. It's not ideal for some of these teams. All right, we get to the one that I know that New York Jets fans are waiting on, because now the New York Jets are officially the worst team in the division because the Miami Dolphins have now won 2 in a row. And I believe, Dylan, that is probably the longest winning streak in the division right now of any two, because the Patriots lost to the Ravens. So, yes, the Bills lost. The Dolphins are clearly, at this point right now, the best team in the AFC East as they've won 2 in a row. But, yes, the Dolphins go in, and it almost feels fitting because we laugh about the AFC South all season long, how crazy it is, how inconsistent these teams are, and sure enough, the team that we think is in pretty good shape to win the division turns around and loses to the Dolphins at home. And once again... I guess that, again, the good news for the Dolphins and Dolphins fans is that the Jets won, so that's a positive. All these other teams that you're playing, trying to maybe get a higher pick, they won, except for the Bengals, of course. I don't know. This is one of those where I know Jacoby Brissett didn't play here, but this is still a game. If you're the Colts, you have to win this game, and they did not score a single point in the first half. Against a Dolphins defense that, yes, it has gotten better from where it was when we saw Lamar Jackson do what he did in Week 1, but it just, I mean, if you're the Colts, again, we talk about some of these teams, you're going to look back on games throughout the season and say, that's where we lost our playoff spot. And if you're the Colts, you could very well be looking back at this game here in a couple weeks saying, uh-oh.
Yep, this is one that's really going to hurt them. Early in the season, they lost to the Raiders too, and that's one that, in terms of actual playoff positioning and with tiebreakers and whatnot, will also be a big factor. But you got to win these ones if you're going to make the playoffs. I know the AFC is not the NFC in terms of how heated the race might be by the end of the year, but you still can't lose to the Dolphins, no matter who your quarterback is. I think it's something, a lesson for bettors. Do not bet on a Brian Hoyer quarterback team if he's favored by more than 10 points. Just don't even do it. I mean, no matter who the opponent is. I know it's the Dolphins, but Hoyer, man, he came back to reality. I know we saw him do some good things against the Steelers at certain points beyond that one pick six, but it was rough, and it was errors that he made that weren't necessarily forced, and they lose by 4 points. And going back to some of the interceptions he had, I mean, the Dolphins scored all their points in the first half, all 10 off interceptions by Brian Hoyer. They weren't necessarily moving the ball in the Colts defense. I thought Darius Leonard played well. I thought overall the Colts defense played pretty well, but they're put in some bad spots by their offense. And their offense just couldn't get it done at the end of the game. I mean, you look at the pass and the fourth down, it's just so feebly right in front of the yard marker, and it's like, what are we doing here for Indianapolis? You can only endure so many quarterbacks. You're in your third string guy, you know, going back to Andrew Luck, really, from the beginning of the season. This is not a situation any team wants to be in, but there's still no excuse for losing to a Dolphins team that, while playing motivated, while playing much better the last few weeks, not necessarily an opponent that you feel like you shouldn't be able to impose your will on with the roster talent that the Colts have. And Miami's kind of trying to become that there over the next few drafts. They're going to try to have depth in the same way the Colts do on their roster, but disappointing. And I think my favorite meme from yesterday was victories in November, Dolphins 2, Patriots 0. You can't really argue with those kind of facts there.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, look here. All right, let's pull it up. The Dolphins schedule the rest of the way. Let's try to find 9 wins. They're 2-7. I'm going through their remaining. We're not going to do that.
No.
And to be honest with you, I thought about doing it for the Colts, and then I said, you know what? We have no idea what's going to happen with these AFC South games. So there's no possible chance.
They play a lot of AFC South matchups still awaiting all four teams.
So we're not going there just yet because those, as we know, are wacky, and who knows? Especially, we certainly have no idea what to predict with the Colts if they can't beat the Dolphins at home. So there's no point in even going through that right now. Sorry, Dolphins. We really did think you were going to be the worst team possibly in NFL history, and here you are, winning 2 in a row. Next up, the Snow Bowl. The snow really started coming down at Lambeau, but it seemed fitting. We always look forward to that once we get to this time of year. And the Packers rebound from that ugly game against the Chargers and get a 24-16 win over the Panthers. Aaron Jones, another big day, another 3-touchdown game for him. Mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey, it's so funny. Like I was about to say, Christian McCaffrey kind of has a quiet game, and yet he still goes over 100 yards, and he scores, and it's just like, what else do we expect from this guy at this point? I mean, we know he's going to probably hit the 100-yard mark and probably going to score in pretty much any game that he plays in. But even in a game where Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw a touchdown, the Packers win a game, and they looked a bit better against the run, all things considered, considering who you're going against, I guess.
No, for encouraging game for Green Bay to bounce back, because that Charger game was just so ugly, and that's why I say I'm not too worried about the Saints. I know they lost to probably a weaker opponent than Los Angeles, but week to week, you're gonna have slip ups, and here they respond against a really motivated Carolina team. It's a team that is still in the playoff picture. A tough loss for them in a NFC race that's going to be a lot more difficult to traverse for them. This is one that they felt like they could have, and really there were some turning point plays, fumbles, different things where the Packers were able to score touchdowns and the Panthers were not. Red zone efficiency really came down and kind of bit Carolina in the butt here. So for them, I'm not shocked, because one of the things I said before was that Carolina's run defense is atrocious, and while they still did okay at moments, they gave up 6 yards per carry, 27 carries overall for Green Bay, including the one by Aaron Rodgers for 163 yards. Aaron Jones goes off again. It's a touchdown machine, both of these guys. McCaffrey, you're not surprised by him, but they did enough on Green Bay to limit him. I thought Kyle Allen actually played pretty well, and overall for Carolina, if you're feeling about your feelings about him, what's going on with Cam Newton, what's going to happen after the season, I think at the very least you feel like you have a serviceable quarterback at this point, and maybe it's really difficult to win on the road in Lambeau overall, let alone in the snow. It felt more like a December game, I'm sure, than a November one for this one. But yeah, it's two tough teams in Green Bay. You're feeling pretty good at this point. Yeah, I mean, you're still only a game lead in that race in the NFC North. But overall, for the Packers, their defense has kind of struggled, like you said, over the last few weeks. And it was good to see them kind of bounce back here and play better.
Yeah, big win. And for the Panthers, we maybe on the next, when we do our recap for next week, we'll go through and look at their maybe path to the playoffs for them and some of the other NFC teams. Yeah. We'll stick with the AFC this week. But it was another good win for the Packers, and a long line of them this season, and a nice bounce back spot for them after that game against the Chargers, for sure. All right, your boys, the Rams, go to Pittsburgh and did not look good. Steelers get a 17-12 win, and what do you know? Both teams have the exact same record, and I think if you would have said after week one, knowing that Ben Roethlisberger was going to be out for the season, you probably wouldn't have predicted that for the Rams and the Steelers to be in the same spot here, but here they are. I was laughing because I think last week I said, what in the world am I doing in a fantasy league starting the Browns defense instead of the Steelers defense?
Yep.
And what do you know? I do the same thing again this week. I start the Browns. Oh, no. It didn't matter. I mean, I won, and it was in our league. Yeah. It was in the Clutch Points League. But, you know, once again, I'm sitting here. I start the Browns defense. I'm like, it'll be different this week. And the Steelers just rack up point after point after point. And I assume they probably won a lot of people leagues again this week. And I don't know, Dylan. I don't know where we go from here because Jared Goff is certainly this is something that I know is concerning for a lot of Rams fans. You look back at his last however many games he's had, he just hasn't played particularly consistent or well to the extent. I know they got to the Super Bowl, but this is something that for them to get back to the Super Bowl, they're going to need him to play much better. But as we know too, I mean, it's an offensive line thing too, to where he just sometimes doesn't have a chance to play well, to be honest.
No, yeah. I mean, it's as much about Goff as the offensive line. They kind of go hand in hand. And as a Rams fan, you have to realize this isn't Patrick Mahomes. This isn't Deshaun Watson. He's not the kind of guy that's going to be able to mitigate those issues. He's not going to if they have all the – unless their offensive line really takes a jump. The only years he's – I mean, his fourth year in the NFL. We had a rookie year where the offensive line was atrocious. 2 years where they were top five, top ten unit, and now again in the bottom quarter of the NFL. It all correlates. He plays much better when he has time to throw, just like any quarterback. But this is really a guy that needs the pieces around him to be playing well. And I don't question what the Rams receivers are doing. They're, you know, guys are dropping some passes here and there, but nothing to the point where you're feeling like they're the problem. It's the offensive line. And I know they have the injury to Brian Allen early in the game. Austin Blythe moves over to center, and it's just a mess. And that was the one thing before this game, talking about again, these better defensive lines have really gotten to work against them and really made some big plays. And it reminded me a lot of the 49er game in that way. It looked very similar in terms of the Rams just not being able to throw the ball. And the few times that that Goff was able to throw, there was a few where they got away with some holdings, and then there were some others where they did get big pass plays and they did call holding as they should. So they couldn't do anything getting down the field. It was all 3-4 yard passes. And if they ever didn't get anything going on first and second down, if it was third and long, it was game over. Those guys pinned their ears back and they had no chance. So for the Rams, I mean, they scored 12 points. Your defense scored 9 of those points. It's going to be brutal moving forward. I don't, as we talked about with all the teams kind of in that middle of the race for the NFC, I felt most confident about the Vikings, and I still feel that way after this week especially, because even if the Rams' schedule isn't the toughest, they still have some tough games against Seattle and the 49ers. I don't know, man. I'm not feeling too great about them, because the one thing, though, for their defense that has been really solid, and it's been a top five DVOA unit again, and it's frustrating, because if you put last year's offense for most of the year in that situation they're in with this defense, they really go to an elite level. But at this point, the Steelers, I still don't feel great about their prospects. Mason Rudolph did not look good again, but again, the Rams defense has been good. And for the Steelers, they're going to have to really rely on their defense. It's going back to years past, and that's the one encouraging thing for a Steelers fan moving forward. If they can figure out their quarterback situation, this team has a lot of really good young talent beyond just Minkah Fitzpatrick. I mean, the team overall, at every facet of the defense on all three levels, is just playing spectacular football right now.
All right, Steelers fans, this is the moment you were waiting for. All right, we're gonna go through, because right, you got 5 wins right now. You're 5-4. You've won 4 in a row. Well, let's look at it. All right, so they're at the Browns, which I think you've already said you're going to take the Steelers.
We'll do our picks Thursday, but right now I'm leaning Steelers.
All right, so you're leaning. So that gives them 6. They're at the Bengals. 7.
Yeah,
right.
That's 7.
At home against the Browns. I mean,
dude, if the Bengals win that game, holy cow! But yeah, no, I'm going Steelers 3 straight wins here, and then probably the Cardinals though. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Even with the Browns Cardinals, I'm not sure about the Steeler Cardinal matchup later in the year in week, I think 14 it is. But I guess Steelers, you're feeling like they're gonna. Are we picking them? How many straight wins would that be at that
point?
Let's see.
That'd
be 8 straight wins. That'd be 8 straight wins.
I was gonna say, at the Browns, if we take them at the Browns, we take them at the Bengals, at home against the Browns, at the Cardinals, that would put them to 8 straight wins, and that would put them at what?
9-4.
9-4. Then they're at home against the Bills.
Are we talking about a team getting a bye here? What are we doing here?
Seriously, like, let's consider this. Like, okay, let's say they win that one. That's 9 in a row. They're at 10. Yeah. They're at the Jets.
Yep.
Like,
They got some games that they are incredibly winnable. We'll see what they do on Thursday night here in the short week against Cleveland. But yeah, man,
some of these are on the road. That's what we have to consider, I think.
Yep. A lot of road games.
There's a lot of road games in here, and even against
they finish up with the Ravens, yeah, you know, that's gonna be tough too.
Even against the Bengals, the Cardinals, and the Jets, we can say it should feel like they should win all three of those games, but in all honesty, they're probably going to drop one of those. But even if you look at it that way, I think they still, and I don't want to say easily, but like it does feel like they easily find a way to get to 9 wins at least. And so that's something to consider right here. Yeah, I mean, this is crazy to think about, but the Steelers really feeling like they're in a good spot right now after that win against the Rams. All right, here we go. This one, you called it, Dylan. This was your upset of the week. You nailed it. We'll see if my upset of the week is right for the Monday night game with the Seahawks and the 49ers. But the Vikings go in and get the win over the Cowboys, 28-24. We had our concerns about the Cowboys early in the season. We said, is this a team that's sort of just feasting off of a bad schedule? And sure enough, really, I mean, aside from some bright spots here and there, sure, when they beat the Eagles at home as handily as they did, other than that, like, I mean, they beat the Giants. Great. Like, they've really not done anything else. And they lose this game and now have back-to-back road games against the Lions and the Patriots. So don't look now, but me leaving the Bears and the Cowboys out of the playoffs may not look as bad as I thought it was going to look.
No, definitely the Bears. But yeah, the Cowboys, like I said, going into this game, it mostly was about not seeing them beat anyone that's a quality team. I thought the Cowboys played all right, but these are both really good teams. The NFC's just packed with these quality offense, defensive kind of teams that are balanced on both sides. So it could have gone either way. And yeah, but you mentioned now for Dallas, they said it on the telecast. If you look at their schedule next to the Eagles, we can do that maybe on the next one. The Eagles definitely have an easier slate of games coming up. So, I mean, the Cowboys do have the advantage by beating Philadelphia earlier in the year, but it's not going to be easy for them. And yes, the Lions, they get a break. I feel like if Stafford's starting that game, it's a lot tougher pick than right what it is right now with it looks like Driscoll will still be going for Detroit, so they get another break there. So hopefully they can get that win for their sake. But after that, like you said, the Patriots are coming up. They got some other tougher games on the schedule. The Rams probably not as tough as they looked early in the year, so maybe things are going to work out for Dallas. But in this one, yeah, I'm not Minnesota not surprised with their game plan. They rode Dalvin Cook and he was phenomenal. I know he talked about being determined to outplay Zeke, and Zeke still had a pretty solid day. But Dalvin, man, I mean, he's putting up almost 200 total yards between rushing and receiving. He was doing it all, was making guys miss. And the one thing about the Vikings in terms of this game that ended up being the turning point, I think, for them being able to win, even when they weren't scoring points, they were taking time off the clock. They didn't really have – they had at least one three and out, but most of the game was these longer kind of drives where they're – even if they're resulting in a field goal or a punt or a touchdown, they're keeping the Dallas offense off the field. Dallas only had – before that final drive with just seconds to go, they only had three drives the entire second half. It was crazy. Vikings were on the field the whole time. They're wearing out Dallas's defense. Dallas's defense is their Achilles heel right now too. They're solid, but they're not great, and they're not gonna be able to really stop some of these premier offenses. So that was the one thing too about this game in terms of Kirk Cousins, prime time, road, all that stuff. I'm not trying to knock on Cowboy fans because they're as passionate as any fan base, but the atmosphere inside that stadium, it's so large. There's so many road fans are able to come in and want to come in to see the stadium that come out of town, and the Vikings travel well. It never really feels like they have a huge home field advantage there. It kind of feels like you're almost playing in one of these like off-site college football games in week one or two, or you know, a bowl game kind of situation in terms of the atmosphere. So it really wasn't what we've seen with Kirk Cousins having to go in on primetime against Seattle, against Green Bay, where we've seen him struggle so much. And I thought Cousins played well, and we've seen him overall. Obviously, October was his month. It was Cousins was on fire then. He took a step back maybe last week, but here he responds. And for the Vikings, a really big win for them. I know their bye week's coming up now pretty soon, but they have one more game against the Broncos, and they get the really late bye in week 12. But they got some tougher games in their schedule. So for them, a huge win, especially with the Carolina and the Rams losing. They they put themselves in a great spot moving forward with this victory. They've already beaten the Eagles as well. So all these teams that are kind of in these tiebreak situations with the Vikings, they have head-to-head victory, and that's one big thing for them. I think I'm feeling pretty good for your – I mean, I picked the Packers to win the division, and you picked the Vikings. But I think both teams – I think we both picked them to also make the playoffs, and I'm feeling pretty good about that right now.
Yeah, for sure. These are two teams that are sort of starting to show kind of what they're capable of, and, you know, I guess – now it's just a matter of keeping it going. And for the Cowboys, like you said, if we'll go through them, I think, on our next episode. Well, next week when we go through our recap, kind of where people stand for the NFC. But there are not many games left on their schedule where you're going to circle and say that's a definite win for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And so that could be a problem. And we'll see kind of how it unfolds there. But that'll wrap up our takeaways here for the Week 10. And as we said, if you go back to our previous episode, you can check out our thoughts on the Monday night game between the Seahawks and the 49ers. I guess I did say it. I'm picking the Seahawks in that one. Dylan goes with the 49ers. Either way, it should deliver and give us another great game. And really, both primetime games have already done it. We said this was going to be a big week for primetime games, and the two previous ones have been great. So we expect nothing different in this one. All right, to the waiver wire. We'll wrap up, as we always do, with looking at the fantasy football waiver wire. And let me just say, we're getting here to where we're in week 11. You've only got two more bye weeks to
spot starts.
Yes. that is the point we're at, to where, remember, none of these players are probably, I don't want to say none of these players could win you your league, but there are a couple that you could maybe rely on if you have to. Mm-hmm. But let's just keep that in mind. Only if you have to. Dylan, I mean, it is. It's a rough one, because I'll tell you why. And it all starts with the quarterbacks, because there's only one quarterback that I looked at and said, well, I guess he's an option because of his schedule. And let's say this. The Titans, the Seahawks, the Giants, and the Packers are all on byes in Week 11. Mm-hmm. So that means, you know, you're out Russell Wilson, you're out Aaron Jones, you're out Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. you're out Derrick Henry, Saquon. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of problems when it comes to the bye weeks here. So you're going to have to pick up some of these guys, probably. And at quarterback, I mean, I'm not impressed either with Sam Darnold, but you look at the guy's schedule, and it's like, I mean, theoretically, if you had to, and if you're someone in a two-quarterback league or something, you're going to have to use him. But, I mean, I guess, theoretically, you could look at him and say, he's at the Redskins this week. He's at the Raiders the following week. He's at the Bengals. He's against the Dolphins. There's a lot of possibilities to at least just have mm-hmm. him there. You know, let's say someone you have potentially gets injured. If you need, just as you can tell, I'm very confident in this pick. But he's really the only guy I look at and say, maybe. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a rough field. I'm kind of scanning it. I'd maybe say Derek Carr. I know they got some tougher games, but at least that passing offense for the Raiders, he didn't have a huge fantasy week last week, but before that, you know, playing pretty well. And they also have a couple of easier games coming up in Kansas City, a team that they'll probably run the ball on more than trying to pass. But overall, I think that would be one other option, I would say. Other than that, yeah, like you said, Tannehill, I'm not going to, you know, I'm all on board for the Tana Goat here and for Nashville, but I don't think fantasy-wise,
so.
Week to week, you're going to rely on him to do what he did on Sunday. Like you said, Sam Darnold's schedule lines up, but if I had to throw in another guy, maybe it would be Derek Carr.
Yeah, because again, this is really, like, this is a one-week thing, folks. I don't think you're going to be looking at these guys, maybe 2 weeks, because we do have buys next week too, but you're probably not going out of your way to rush out to get any of these guys, to be honest, unless you just have to have them. Running back, again, I mean, we mentioned the injury situation with the Falcons, but are we really relying on Brian Hill to get, you know, 20 PPR points or anything like that? I don't think so. Knowing, you know, that's not an ideal situation. Probably J.D. McKissick still there. We talked about him last week with the Lions. Darius Geis, I think, is probably the one I'd, to be honest with you, I'd maybe even look at mm-hmm. him and say he may be one of the better ones of the week, just because you know he's probably going to get plugged in some way. We just don't know how involved he's going to be, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing we've seen with Bill Callahan is that the Redskins are going to pound the ball. They've been playing these 2.5 hour games, which is just great for anyone that's covering that team in terms of getting their deadline stories out. But I think Geis is an intriguing option. I still think McKissick, we talked about him. He had a decent week. And
Ty Johnson, I think, has a concussion so...
Otherwise, you'd really be in a tough place if you pick Brian Hill of the Falcons. He's got a 0.7 ownership rating, came out, obviously had a decent week there against the Saints, so who knows how he factors in. The Falcons kind of have a season that's lost, so maybe Devonta Freeman takes less carries than what you might hope as an owner in fantasy, and maybe he does something. But otherwise, he's not a pretty place to be. If you running back situation, it's not the same as some of the other ones. It's one that there's a reason that you early in the draft really need to prioritize that compared to others. It's so much tougher to replace some of these guys. But like you said, you're going to have to with some of these bye weeks. I think in one of my leagues, I have a couple guys. Both my top running backs are going to be in byes coming up. So it's going to be a rough going there. Maybe Geis is someone I look at. I don't know. Adrian Peterson, still, he's a little over 50%, I guess. But he's close to that borderline. If he's open in your league, still someone you could consider with the way that Callahan has taken that offense. And Dwayne Haskins now starting the rest of the year for the they just announced today. So they're gonna be pounding the rock, and that's one thing. I guess if Redskins, you're not gonna really rely on them. If you have Scary Terry, you're probably starting him. But on their running game, I guess that's the one thing we look at the opportunity in fantasy a lot of the time, and that's one place I guess for Washington where they have an advantage.
Yeah, wide receiver looks a little bit better because we know it's such a volatile situation. You can probably plug in some of these guys throughout these next couple bye weeks and feel okay. Devontae Parker for me is still the number one. I mean, he's just he didn't have a huge game against the Colts, but he's pretty much a lock to have double digit points. He's the top target there, and with Fitzpatrick playing like he's playing, the Dolphins are rolling. So I think Devontae Parker probably the top option, honestly, maybe overall. Again, I think Adam is my top option last week, maybe, and he would be that again for me. So elsewhere, Darius Slayton, we talked about him. The only, I guess, the problem with that, of course, that the Giants are on bye this week, so he's not going to help you this week. That's an issue. Cole Beasley, my man. I'm telling you, Dylan, I think Cole Beasley has been on my list for more than any other player like all year. Like, I just keep pounding it and saying you have to pick up Cole Beasley, because if you want someone that's going to give you, a consistent floor, like, he just keeps doing it, and he hasn't stopped. So it's kind of a situation where I think you throw him in the mix. Elsewhere, I've got Hunter Renfrow. He's starting to
PPR machine now.
He's starting to play well in his role. So I guess, those four guys, wide receiver wise, there's some options there.
Yeah, there's a lot of good options. I think that was a good one that I was going to point out was Renfrow. I mean, that guy. Anyone that if you're a college football fan, are you really shocked that a guy that dominated so well for Clemson is doing this? Yes, he played with solid quarterbacks and played against some weaker opponents in the ACC at times, but in those bigger games against those really tough Alabama defenses, he still was playing and showing up and doing a good job. So not shocked to see him finding a role here for the Raiders. And as that pass offense continues to shine and they got some weaker opponents coming up, I think that's a good one. Yeah, Slayton, you talk about what he did this past week, but then he has the bye, and then after that they face the Bears and the Packers, so probably two matchups there that aren't going to look fantastic in terms of his fantasy value. I think outside of Hunter Renfrow, I agree, Beasley and Devontae Parker has to be the number one. Just again, opportunity. And this is a guy that with the Dolphins playing a little bit better, and they're clear if they're going to keep Fitzpatrick in there, they're at least going to be doing something. Buffalo might be a tougher matchup for them, but after that they've got some easier secondary has come up on the schedule. Devontae Parker, I think, easily a flex play, and possibly for one of these bye weeks, just slot him as your number second receiver here. It's crazy to see he's still owned by less than 50% of owners. I get he's on the Dolphins, but man, he's really a productive player at this point in terms of fantasy value. Just his floor is not that low.
No, and Cole Beasley, listen, he played nine games. He has at least 9 fantasy points in all but one game this season. So, I mean, like, he's hit double digits in, I think, like 6 or 7 of those. So it's like, I know it's not pretty, and he hasn't had over 14, but I'll take those 14 points and be happy with it. Like, I'll take those 10 because I know someone's going to lay a dud. Sorry, Cooper Kupp. I'm sorry, but you lost me. You lost me this week. Like, I just, it really ruined my team, and I'm not happy about it. But that's okay. We're okay there. So Yeah, that's, you got some options at wide receiver. Tight end, I only have one on this list. O.J. Howard, he is returned. He is back in good graces, apparently, with the Bucs. We've been talking about him all year long, and it seems like O.J. Howard is finally going to play a role for the Bucs. So I guess if you need a tight end, maybe O.J.'s back here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I looked great. We had one of my coworkers here, or one of our coworkers, Noam, in the office. He was like, man, Cameron Brayton not doing nothing. I'm like, well, big O.J. Howard's living up to his billing this week. He's doing what everyone in all these fantasy yep. kind of people that project things before the year, they all talked about him. Yeah, I mean, he's for an option if he's available in your league. Yeah, I'd absolutely jump on him. I think out of these guys, I mean, yes, Kyle Rudolph's there, but he's not going to be making one-handed catches three times every week, you know. Not someone you're going to rely maybe on quite as much. But if you're tight end position, as we know, it's one that we found out here at Clutch Points that people might struggle with more than others, because after those first as few guys, there's a lot of decisions you have to make. And you know, routinely when we talk about our start and sit him articles at tight end, it's one of our highest read articles. So O.J. Howard, Tampa Bay, with the way they're still going to throw the ball all the time, they're still giving up so many points, I think he's probably the more reliable option between those two. But I think both options are not bad considering what some of the other guys are at this point on the rosters out there.
Yeah, just plug someone in. It doesn't matter at this point. Just tight end. Just plug them in. Just hope that you have one of the better ones. If you don't, you're in trouble. Defense, I've got one option too on here, and it's I never thought I'd be saying this, I guess, here in week 11. But the Oakland Raiders, who are coming off of a big defensive performance against the Chargers, well, you're not going to use them the rest of the season, but I will say you can definitely use them the next 2 weeks, because they're playing the Bengals at home this week, and they're turn around and go to the Jets the next week.
Yeah, not much to add in terms of the Raiders' fantasy value. They did quite well. They scored 17 on Thursday against the Chargers. Turnovers, they have started to force more. If that pass rush gets going, especially these next couple weeks, like you said, they're a fantastic option. I think, as we talked about in the past, for especially when I think about defenses and fantasy, always matchup-based. Teams that are really bad on defense, if they're playing the right team, the right matchups up front, they're going to put up points, and that's all it's about. It's not about having, you know, every unit's going to eventually face a Baltimore Ravens or a Kansas City Chiefs and give up a bunch of points. But, yeah, I think that's out of these ones, of the schedules coming up, that's the defense that, given what they did against the Chargers on Thursday, I would trust the most, absolutely.
The only other one I have is possibly on here is the Jets, but I'm sorry. I'm just not going there. Going there. I don't care if they play the Redskins, the Raiders, the Bengals, and the Dolphins. Yeah. I'm not going there. Sorry.
Maybe the Browns against the Steelers, given what that offense in Pittsburgh has done.
Okay, just throw it out the window. We're done with them. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it anymore. I played the Browns against the Broncos and the Bills, and I got nothing. So I don't care who they play.
That's correct.
Like, I expect Ryan Fitzpatrick to come in week 12 and throw four touchdowns at this point. But it's – I will say this. If you want to pick up the Browns, it's actually not a bad idea, because remember, you're starting to look ahead to playoff schedules here. And the Browns do host the Bengals in week 14.
Yep.
So that's one Something where you're probably going to feel pretty good about playing the Browns. But to be honest, even against the Dolphins, I don't feel good about playing the Browns. So I don't know if that says more about the Browns or the Dolphins. So we'll see. All right, that wraps it up. There's our very confident waiver wire selections for this upcoming week. So, yes, if you're someone on bye, I guess the best thing to say is good luck, because it's not exactly a situation where you're probably going to feel confident playing a lot of these guys, but they're out there if you need them on your roster. All right, so that'll wrap up this episode of the podcast, and as always, we'll be back here to look ahead to our week 11 picks, and hopefully we'll do a little bit better than we did from this week, and hopefully the Seahawks will give me another victory in their game against the 49ers on Monday night. But Dylan, we got a lot of great stuff going up at Clutch Points. Let everybody know where they can find all of our stuff.
Yeah, for Establish the Pass, appreciate all our listeners and subscribers on Apple, and we appreciate it listens wherever you listen to the podcast. We'll try to get it out in some more of the outlets, but we're on pretty much all the major ones, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play. Yes, we got on our Clutch Points website too. If you go to the podcast tab, we got our podcast, the two NBA podcasts, the college basketball one with Blake and Joseph. So a lot of good stuff there for NFL content. Yeah, the app, definitely appreciate any downloads we can get. A lot of NBA fans coming into the app, so all NFL fans, we appreciate some of you guys more coming in to follow games and read our all the articles we get published in that section there. On the website itself, on the homepage, we've got our NFL tab. You can search fantasy football for all our fantasy content. We'll have the waiver wire pickup article from Blake tomorrow. We'll have the droppables article. We've kind of added that one in on the kind of the flip side. Who are the guys now, if you're picking up these 10, who can you drop at this point? It's probably, if you haven't figured it out for some of these guys, might be a little late, but still still some options, still got to make those decisions. So we got those ones, Stardom Cinem articles, all kinds of fantasy stuff. So yeah, appreciate it. Now it's crazy, and we were talking about it before, I think the podcast preview in week 10, it's crazy to think there's only 7 more weeks of the regular season after tonight.
Yeah, don't drop Cooper Kupp, folks. Don't drop him. He'll be okay. I know I'm mad at him, but he'll be okay, I promise. All right, yep, that'll wrap up this episode of the podcast. Like Dylan said, be sure to subscribe all over the place, and we will talk to you guys next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.